All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Did you see? We will ask that question here in just a moment. Appreciate Wes Rucker. Appreciate Dr. Lyle Kane of Andrew Sports Medicine joining us. And we always appreciate our friends at Royal Automotive. They sponsor the Twitter feed at Mac and Cube. You can tweet into the show. You might want to, after the next segment, have a couple questions for you that the three of us actually need answered. Bud Light Hotline will be open, 800-239-9569. But no matter where life takes you in 2023, for every ride, there's Royal. Royal Automotive in Vestavia, they've got you covered with new cars, trucks, and SUVs that come in every single day. When they say every ride, they mean it. Your old car included. Upgrade today. Trading your vehicle for top dollar. Four dealerships on one lot means whatever you want to drive, they're going to have it. 2023 GMC Sierra like I'm driving. Yukon, Buick Enclave, Volkswagen Atlas, Volvo XC90, all in one location. Not to mention the hundreds of pre-owned models. Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Royal Automotive pre-owned, Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. They've got your next car, truck, or SUV. Reserve a new model in under an hour. Yes, it can be that fast. They'll even deliver your new ride right to your driveway. How convenient is that? You know where to find them. Corner of I-65 and Highway 31 of Vestavia. Online at royalautomotive.net. And remember, for every ride, there's Royal. Yesterday, Damien came back to a song that I think the three of us all have a pretty decent amount of fanfare for. And so because we only got about 11, 12 seconds of it, when I got in the car and left, I actually went and found it on the phone and put it on and was listening to it on the way to doctor's appointment. And
I love how dialed in you are.
So
locked in.
I like the album.
And listen, I've heard the album actually not great.
It's not the best work.
It's not. There are two or three good tracks. And you hear a lot of different things when you listen to songs over and over and over again. And I know I had heard this multiple times, but for some reason yesterday it just hit me and I thought to myself, what is this? And so Still Fly by Big Timers was the song that Damien played. And I heard this portion of the song and I need to know what it is. Imagine interior, three-wheel ride with the tie in the middle. Three-wheel ride with the tire in the middle.
It's fresh.
Are they riding three-wheelers?
Shine like brothers.
Like the old school Yamaha three-wheeler?
That's what I'm guessing. That's what I'm going with.
I hope not, because they banned those things. They weren't safe.
Well, sounds are different back in 2003, 2004.
Not super concerned about safety.
Was it the Polaris, the old slingshot thing that they made? By the way, I think they're making those up in Huntsville now. So I don't know if they make those at the Players plant there, but we got one. If you're listening on Talk Ump, whatever it's called now.
I think it's Ump Talk for
that
all.
Too. Yeah. That one too. 103.9 FM, 730 AM.
Of all the things
three wheel ride with a tire in the middle.
That's the only exception.
But it's not the only reference to three wheel ride. Like you got several different mentions of three-wheel rides. Put the caddy up, start the three-wheel bends, hyper white lights, ultraviolet lens.
Okay, yeah. So
three-wheel rides, they gotta be run flat. Hey.
But that wouldn't be... So now we're going to a whole different category of vehicle.
I respect the run flat play. It's like, hey, we're not pulling over.
Right.
Change his tire real quick. I like the run flat play. That's probably the best play of the whole thing.
It just costs more. That was all it was.
That's it.
So now we're going to a whole different level of vehicle with three-wheel bends.
I mean, they reached. So, they probably had
it
invented.
But I want to know what we're talking about.
They also said bodies on the Roadster Lexus, you know. I don't know what a Roadster Lexus is.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure why you're worried.
We're not in their tax bracket, so let's guess where we
can't. By the way, with the convertible top.
On your computer really quick, and if you're at work, go ahead and do this also. Google three-wheel bins.
Three-wheel bins.
Am I going to get in trouble? Cole's making me do this for show research.
You're not going to get in trouble. I want to see Manny Fresh riding in this thing. It looks like a futuristic bicycle.
Okay, now we can call into question what y'all talking about, because ain't no way Birdman and Manny Fresh pulling up to the block.
You getting 8-inch rims on that thing?
Yeah,
like they ain't rolling on
it. It does have the Lamborghini doors though, so that would be fun. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I want to know what the Superman Benz looks like. that he scored.
That's you could actually you see it's on Cribs. It's on Shaq's edition of Cribs. He has it, and that's that's the car that he bought from him. Because all of Shaq's cars were custom. But I mean, I just the three wheel vehicles I need answers on. Maybe we have car people that are listening. A three wheel Benz, I have no idea. And it's not that spike thing that I just pull it up.
No, let's hope not.
It's not.
Let's hope not.
So, three wheel ride with the tire in the middle. I need to know.
It's fresh and stunner. We shine like brothers.
By the way, any three wheel vehicle that doesn't have one tire in the middle, you got problems. Right. Just going to lay that out right now.
As far as balance and stuff,
you're going to have some issues getting around on that.
You will.
All right. So, 800-239-9569. If you can help us with that, please do. We have no idea where we're going. But we do ask this question multiple times a week where we get a little bit off topic, kind of like we were there, and it is, did you see?
What did you see, Clary? What did you see?
Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I saw it.
Did you see that?
What did you see?
All right, so we talked a lot about airports yesterday and airport behavior, how cordial you need to be in certain instances when you're flying on the plane, off the plane. And then I see this drop yesterday from WBRC. TSA and Birmingham Airport share list of prohibited items that were confiscated in the last year at Birmingham Shuttlesworth International Airport. Do you want to take a guess at how many pounds of prohibited items were seized at the Birmingham Airport in 2022?
You said pounds.
Pounds of items.
I don't know. I mean, they go through my bag like every single time I go through there. So,
I'd say about, I'd say anywhere between 1,400 to 1,800 pounds.
I'll take the over on both those.
Okay. GMAC would be right. It was 5,000 pounds of prohibited items seized at the Birmingham Airport during 2022. Of that number, Damien, you would be in the mix here, 1,600 pounds of sharp items, knives, and, quote, bludgeons.
Bludgeons.
Oh, wow.
That's okay. Basically a bludgeon, also known as a microphone bottom.
That's what
could use it as that. Travel microphone.
You could bludgeon someone with that.
Could.
I'm assuming that's like brass knuckles.
Probably.
I could save the day by using it as a shield.
I'll give you one thing that it was. Because wanted to get to a couple of the things that were actually seized at the Birmingham Airport. You want to just throw out like one of the weirdest things? Also, the other 3,400 pounds, that was hazardous materials.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Yeah. So there were some weird things that were seized. A baseball bat.
I actually think like if you're like a road baseball team, you should be able to take that. Probably not on the carry-on.
Yeah, I feel like you might have to check that one.
I mean, Sting took it in the ring.
A drill?
Why can't you take a drill?
I don't want crazy guy trying to drill the windows out on the seat next to me on the plane, but cool with that, then sure.
I mean, what if you need to do handiwork?
A frying pan.
If I can't get my tray table out, I might need the guy with the drill.
Yeah. You want Bob the Builder to just whip it?
What's going on over there?
Bob the Builder, can he fix it?
A frying pan?
What if I'm hungry?
Like, that's what I'm saying, but like, why?
You got a hot plate?
Where are you warming it up?
Exactly. That's what, on an airport.
I'm going to put it on the, airport, like, I'm going to put it, frying pan, how does that end up in your carry-on?
Thank you.
Like, a rake, a metal rake, like for leaves.
How big?
Like, you can't put that in a bag. So, I can see you with the rake coming into the airport.
Yeah,
like,
not the full size, but probably about 10 inches wide, the actual rake. But the metal.
That's probably where they get you.
Well, yeah, you're not getting through the metal detector with that one.
Yeah, you ain't getting through that one. Excuse me, sir, is that a rake? Yes.
Yeah, the rake would be an interesting one. Like some of the others, I could understand. Like, all right, you got your drill with you. Like,
no, not a frying pan. I'm not at all.
But if you're a camper,
why are you flying to your camp? Well, I guess you could
I see
fly
a lot of
camper,
people with like weird bags that they're like. You go fly up to Portland. You got people. Their carry-ons are weird. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Like,
sounds like a place that
I'm not judging. Like, but Portland's got some weird carry-ons.
Hell, we got frying pans in Alabama, so I don't know what they're doing out there in Oregon.
That's that's like,
that's crazy.
So just wanted to run through that. Saw that yesterday. Wanted to know, did you see the 5,000 pounds?
I mean, Birmingham to me, it just is. I mean, I wouldn't think that you'd have a lot of chaos at Birmingham Airport. I think it'd be about the easiest, probably the easiest airport in the world. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
Some of the weaponry that's seized, like there's photographs of all the knives and the brass knuckles and the brass knuckle knives that are seized. Like it's somewhat serious, man.
Like
you look like you're ready for that back alley fight in, what's the movie?
I was going to say Rocky Five.
No, Anchorman, when they go out in the back.
And
getting set for that thing.
That is true.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Good reference.
There you go. Of all the things you were going to say there, I wasn't sure that was where you were going. Anchorman, a difficult connection to make, but I dig it.
Had to dig into that one a little bit.
I'm not mad at you.
Serious brawl. All right.
Serious brawl.
Yep.
There's so many did you sees today. It's just, it's almost, I'm almost having a difficult time picking one. See that Gwyneth Paltrow's countersuing a guy that sued her because they got in an accident at Park City.
Oh, it was like a candle.
This is first. No. They got in an accident skiing at Park City. This is like first world problems. Yeah, triple first world. She's suing him for $1.
She's
$1. If you're suing a rich doctor that you accidentally got into a ski accident.
He suing her for 3.1?
He sued her for 3.1.
Okay.
Well. He dropped that suit down to 300,000. He's also, according to the lawsuit, blind. So they can't confirm whether or not she initiated the contact or he initiated.
That changes everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what are we doing here?
Well, in that case, we're out.
He's blind.
The old Utah ski incident between real rich folks.
I had no idea that was taking place until yesterday. And then I saw it and I was like,
it's just capturing the nation's attention. I can't believe how big a deal this is. I don't know why people care as much as they do, but I digress.
Wow.
There are so many today. Did you see that Ken Jennings, the Jeopardy star?
Star?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a star.
Yeah.
Genius.
I mean, he's the number one Jeopardy earner of all time. I would say to a certain extent. I mean, yeah, he's kind of a big deal.
Like the Tom Brady of Jeopardy, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he really is. He had to set the record straight. In the high school reunion tournament final, Ken Jennings was called out last month when fans thought he'd given a contestant a hint and misread a clue. He's now the host, by the way.
Can't do that.
Yeah, can't do that.
Well, he only got it because A-Rod decided he didn't want to do it.
Aaron Rodgers?
Correct.
Okay. Maybe.
Had to go play ball.
Yeah, had to go play, which, by the way, no one knows anything that's going on. Did you see
he is in Tahoe right now, by the way. I can confirm that.
Oh, that's big. Glad to hear it. Did you see that Tiffany Amber Thiessen did a cold plunge in an outdoor ice bath?
Who?
It's Cole's favorite girlfriend of all time. What? You know, whatever.
Definitely never my girlfriend, but
whatever, 90s.
Would gladly brag about it if was.
Who is she?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, a little before your time.
What's the point of this?
I don't know.
She just
the
shared
fact
it?
That she's still in the news.
That's
40 years later.
Did you see that? No, I didn't. Did you see that she was in the news?
She's in the news. It's front page headline, Yahoo News.
That's great.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen, also in the movie Son-in-Law, which saw that. Actually, I watched that not that long ago. Tiffany Amber Thiessen, all-time 90s crush, number one.
90s were a long time, man. I don't know if it's the only one.
No, I like that answer. I'm a big fan of that.
It was a long time.
A lot of ups and downs.
Well, like, what is she
90s?
Known for? Like, what's like her big
Saved by the Bell?
Saved by the Bell.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Well, before our time. You know what also was before my time?
You'd have been a fan.
You know what else was before my time? Power Rangers, 1993. 30-year reunion. Guys, did you see on April 19th on Netflix, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Once and Always premieres? It's going to look a lot different because there have been some tragedies along the way. But the core group, well, some of the core group from the original run is returning. So we've got Zach. We have Billy, the Blue and Black Ranger. We also have Rocky, the Red Ranger, returning. And Kat, the Pink Ranger, which technically is Kimberly. But Kat had to step in. Amy Jo Johnson, she respectfully declined. But
Too big for it?
Well, you know, she's kind of directing and all that stuff. Blue Bloods and things and such. Yeah, so she's kind of still active.
Show Blue Bloods.
Listen, hey, Ion is going to be competing that in the Pac-12, so you can laugh all you want to. But yes, April 19th, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, always.
Let me make sure I set my alarm for
you
that.
You should.
Yeah, I know. I might press the snooze and get in a 9-minute
it's all good.
Gap between the two. Did you see the Ozzy Osbourne declared who is the most fun person to party with?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though, so. I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Does he remember?
He's been around now. Ozzy Osbourne he's logged some days in the party world and unceremoniously declared his co-host that his favorite person to party with was himself.
Okay.
Listen, if you
that to me screams narcissism. And if I'm Sharon,
I would probably lean more towards there weren't enough people that could really hang with him.
Right.
So therefore, and the dude snorted ants.
He said, quote unquote, when asked who the most fun person is to party with, he said, me. Oh, I love myself.
I love myself.
The most fun person you ever drank with was you.
He's the T.O. of the music.
I love
industry.
Me some me.
I mean, I get it. I'd like to hang out with Ozzy back in the day, but
oh, I was going
to
say like now, like not so much anymore.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm not even sure back then it would have been.
It's a little out there.
Yeah,
there's so many.
So what are your Power Rangers
fandom?
No, reunion. What is it? The original cast?
It's a good bit of it. If it's
the original cast, if they all have the costumes on?
No, it's returning actors, the ones that played them back in the day. It's 30 years in the making. It's more like a 30-year celebration of what Power Rangers was. And like,
is it though?
It's a movie. Like, it's,
is it that?
The original, the OG.
You're saying it's a celebration.
It is. Don't like, listen, man, like, let's not go down this train when it comes to Power Rangers. Like, you thought I was definitive on, you know, Tennessee winning 10 games. When it comes to Power Rangers, like, it is a whole different level. We can take this outside.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad about
it. It's good.
Don't get me wrong.
Listen, hey, you know.
I'm not mad about it. But yeah, I'm good on the Power Rangers.
It's cool.
Like, I watched it growing up.
It's fine.
I watched it growing up. I wouldn't say it was like super impressionable, but
all right.
I can get on board.
Cool.
Final did you see for me? Did you see that Japan beat the United States in the World Baseball Classic?
Only because everyone on Twitter was referencing it and talking about it last night when I returned home from date night with my wife, but I did not actually watch the game. No. No, there wasn't a movie theater in Birmingham that was airing it, so we missed it. Sorry.
What does a movie theater have to do with it? You can't watch it on TV?
No. I missed that. Sorry. It's a World Baseball Classic. What does that count for?
I mean, it's the World Cup of Baseball.
Excuse me?
The World Cup of Baseball.
The World Cup?
Set bigger.
Is it?
Nah.
Okay. That's
no.
Just going to throw that out there.
Someone's got to explain to me this. 93.6% of the households, I have not seen the numbers yet for last night's game, 93.6% of the households in Japan were tuned into the semifinal game between Japan and Mexico. 93.6.
And you know how big Japan is.
The television.
Like, you know how,
I don't
like,
believe that.
But you know how many people live in Japan, right? Like, that is redonkulous.
I really don't know why you're so mad.
Straight up, I don't believe that.
Hey. I'm just saying. They love their baseball.
They love their baseball. They are remarkably patriotic.
Of course. They have no other choice. But yeah, I get it.
No, Japan's not like that. You need to relax.
They have no choice.
All right, that's Did You See. We like to go random.
I can't believe you don't care about World Baseball.
Every now and then.
But like the showdown between Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, come on now.
Yeah, you're
really, tell us about it, Damien.
The count went 3-2. It came down to the final pitch between the best baseball player in America and the best, arguably the best baseball player in the world. Came down to one pitch, hit him with a slider.
Which is the best in America? Which is the best in the world?
Shohei Ohtani is the best in the world. Best in America.
The best American player.
American player, yeah,
you
Mike Trout.
The best American player.
My apologies, word choice.
It's okay. So how excited were you watching it?
Oh, you're asking if I watched it live? Like, did I see it live? Oh.
So you're selling me on it, but you didn't watch it. Got it.
The highlights were amazing. The man was throwing 102 on a dime, and Mike Trout couldn't even touch it.
I want to know how many – I really do. I want to know how many media members are on the take with this deal. Like, how many people are getting paid by Rob Manfred to talk about how great the World Baseball Classic is? I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm not saying it wasn't compelling. What the semifinal game between Japan and Mexico was an all-time great deal. If you actually listen to the Japanese broadcast of the final call, it is worth 2 minutes of your time. It's phenomenal. So I'm not saying that people weren't all in on this. They were. I think it was a very big deal. But let's not pretend like baseball is all of a sudden like super consumable. I mean, baseball, as a baseball fan, I can rightly, I feel like, say that I consume a lot of baseball, but I watch my team. I watch the Dodgers. I don't particularly care about seeing a bunch of pros come together, put on Team USA jerseys, and go out there and give it their best shot for basically, you know, pride. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm not saying it's not fun for other people, but
other than watching really good players just compete, certain people are going to say, you know, patriotism, whatever. I'm not saying that I want America to lose. I would love for America to win, but it's just, this is not an event. I thought it was a fabricated event from the get-go, and it's just not something that I'm ever.
The players really are into it, though. So, like, if the players are into it, yeah. I'm supportive of it. I just don't understand why we're making it out to be, oh, what a huge, like, we do the same thing with the World Cup. That's why this is the World Cup of baseball. Oh, what a great event for soccer. Gosh, it's growing in America as a result of this World Cup. No, it's not. Like, it's going to be just the same way it was as before. Like, there's going to be moderate interest. Like, there's going to be important to a group, no doubt. And it is important to a group. But, like, let's not act like the World Baseball Classic's all of a sudden going to change our appetite for baseball.
Okay, man. Dang.
Yeah. That's
the coverage. Look at the headlines. It's like, goodness gracious alive.
I mean, I haven't seen Mookie Betts and Mike Trout on the field at the same time. I feel like they got
very fortunate on the night that they were on and who was in it.
So, what else were we going to watch last night?
Yeah.
I'm not against it. I'm just saying it's not also going to change viewer habits.
We get it. I mean, if it's not the Dodgers on TV, you don't care.
A couple tweets coming into the show. Kim Naomi tweets in, at Kokubik, I think this is it. And he sends a picture in of, I believe it
that
is.
Was,
it looks just like the Polaris.
I thought the three-wheel ride.
This thing looks nicer than the Polaris.
The three-wheel ride was the hydraulics. That's what we had assumed. Damien and I connected those dots. Cole was convinced it was a Polaris.
What's
you
the
know,
tire in the middle?
Side by side.
Exactly.
What's the tire in the middle of the hydraulics?
When you're going down sideways, your tire in the middle, your tire goes from the outside to the middle. If
there
you just
go.
Think about just actual geometry of how it has to stand up.
Yeah, I failed geometry, so that's not going to work for me.
I finished with a B-.
Andrea Hooks tweets in, at Cokubik, it's referring to the first three-wheel motorcycle things with two tires in the front, one in the back, like a three-wheeler backwards. They were very expensive and dangerous. Never got popular up here, but big in New Orleans at the time.
Status thing. Yeah. Makes sense.
Status thing.
Because where they from? NOLA.
Yep.
I'm surprised that that's big in New Orleans.
A lot of things are big.
She says was. Steven in Texas tweets in hydraulics, a picture of a car in hydraulics. Where's the tire in the middle?
That's the thing.
I watched a lot of hydraulics back in the day.
Someone's going to have to explain to me, like, we're talking about G-Wagons, E-Classes, Lexuses.
Right.
Because Steven in Texas even says three-wheel riding is in respect to low riders popped up on three wheels with hydraulics.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Where's the...
The tire
in the middle.
In the middle.
That doesn't help.
But still, explain to me how you're going to roll up in a hood rich contest with a Polaris when you're going up against a G-Wagon or an E-Class or some other Benz or Lexus.
But they had
because the
those,
rims keep spinning every time they stop. Options,
that's great. I'm just saying, I think I'm going to lose that battle. It's a tough one. It's like, hey, man, do you see my... See my $17,000 Polaris? Look at this thing. It's sweet. I know you got a $150,000 G-Wagon, but
Who cares?
Check out my Polaris. This thing can almost go off-road. If I veer onto the shoulder, I can handle it.
Carrie Moss tweets in at Mac and Cube, would those Japan numbers be so high if the Power Rangers movie was on?
Not going to lie. That would be close.
I don't know the level of popularity.
Oh, no, that's where it originated. Super Sentai. It started in Japan. We just adapted and made it Power Rangers. It had been on for like 20-something, almost like 20 years before we adapted and made it Power Rangers. Power Rangers was its own thing. Like, the word morpher and all this stuff, like, originated from Power Rangers.
We got it.
Sorry.
We're good.
Sorry.
Damien's really selling you hard on it.
Listen. Got to lock in, man. April 19th is going to be a hell of a day.
All right. We mentioned Alabama spring ball a little bit earlier in the show. We didn't hear from Hugh Freeze yesterday, and some of the things that he said about Auburn spring practice. Want you to hear a couple of things that he said, and then we'll go a little bit further into exactly maybe what that means and where this Auburn football team is right now. Don't know if the offense is really cooling off or what it's going to take for that offense to heat up, but whichever it is, Polar Bear Services will be able to help.
Polar Bear Services can take great care of you. It doesn't really matter what the circumstances are. They will get you squared away, and they can do your electrical. They can do a full system tune-up. They can clean the ducts in your home. They can also do a full repair. They can also do a full installation. You name it, they'll take care of you. It's springtime, and the weather is very unpredictable. Sometimes you run your AC during the day and run the heat at night, which means it's going to put a lot of extra work on your system. So get it taken care of today by the trained certified experts at Polar Bear Services in Birmingham, Anniston, Tuscaloosa, and Huntsville. Polar Bear Services is your go-to for all things electrical and HVAC. So remember, if you have a problem with your electrical, heating, or air, just pick up the phone and call the Bear. That's 205-497-BEAR, 497-BEAR.
All right, when we come back, take a look at Auburn spring practice here from Hugh Freeze next right here on Mac and Cube in the morning. All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. Did anybody offer any information that needs to be shared on the air in the last 20 minutes of people calling and then sharing things with you?
Yeah, we had one caller call in and tell us that they were referring to the hydraulics. Something about the old school, I think you said B-HOM or B-something hydraulics that would make the three wheels. I guess that's the reference.
That's our assumption. We're
right,
on the same page.
I'm not going
there. The tire in the middle.
Throws that off. I can't.
Listen, I don't know. I don't make the rules. I don't know what y'all were doing back in 2003-04. I couldn't drive, so.
I couldn't either.
I didn't have hydraulics or spinners or a Polaris slingshot, whatever they're called, tail whip. I don't know what they're called. I didn't have one of those either.
The old Polaris.
but
that's it.
Either way, it's an awesome song. That's really
absolutely.
The whole point of the segment.
Absolutely.
It's a very good song. Catchy tune.
Fits every occasion.
We love it. So, all right, want to talk some Auburn spring practice. And as we know, quarterback battle is going to be a big point of contention. There are some assumptions that have been made about what that's going to be, what it's going to end up as. You can share your thoughts, 800-239-9569. But Hugh Freeze, earlier this week, discussing the quarterback room so far in the spring and what he has seen.
They're very coachable. It's very new. What we're asking them to do, and truthfully, I wish we were further along after watching Friday's tape. But it's certainly not from a lack of want to, and I'm not even sure it's a lack of can do. I think we've got to coach it better, and hopefully we'll see a turn toward a better understanding of what we're trying to do this week. But again, I've been very encouraged by their willingness to listen and to be coached and practice 7, 8, 9 this week. Hopefully we elevate the play there.
It doesn't sound overly optimistic. It is early, GMAC. It's a new system. It's quarterbacks that haven't played a large amount of great football the way that Hugh is going to want them to play. So you can understand a little bit of the issue there. But
right.
when you hear Coach Freeze discussing the quarterbacks that way, what as a former quarterback, what comes to mind?
It's too early right now to show your hand. I mean, you're in a situation where you're trying to identify some key characteristics. You're not really, at this point, totally engaged with, all right, here's understanding of the system. He's ahead of him. He has a better feel. You're trying to identify key characteristics. All right, who's the guy that impacts the teammates the most? Who's the guy that clearly they believe in the most? Who are they following best? Who's most accurate on the routes on air concepts? Who's most accurate when throwing the ball from the pocket on any of the aforementioned plays? Like, it doesn't really necessarily matter. All those things are what you're identifying right now. You're trying to identify traits and characteristics, not total grasp, not yet, not at this point of the spring. Hopefully in a week or two, you can better understand, all right, this guy is where he's at based on how he understands the system and how he executes the system. So now you're trying to identify key characteristics, and if you can do that, you've done your job at least early in the spring.
Coach Freeze also saying that those quarterbacks along with the wide receivers still a long way to go.
I think the two positions that stand out to me right now of we just have a long way to go is the quarterback room and the wide receiver room. Not saying we've arrived at other spots yet, but those are the farthest off because they're probably the most we ask them to do the most, truthfully, and it's brand new to them. Which RPO should be run based on what coverage I see, and how do I properly get off the technique that the DB's playing? We're very, very raw at that right now.
I'll give Coach Freeze credit for this. He's very open and honest with what he's seen so far in a very short amount of time at Auburn practice. And I think if you asked any of us, what's your biggest concern with this Auburn football team after quarterback and what that quarterback situation is going to look like, it would also be wide receiver. We would agree with Coach Freeze. And we've talked about an eraser. We've having that true alpha, a real X receiver that can go get the football with a big catch radius that can make a quarterback right more often than not. There doesn't seem to be that guy on the roster. Is there some youth that maybe could fill a couple of those categories that I just mentioned as a wide receiver on this offense? Maybe. Yeah, possibly. But we don't know who that is yet, and we haven't seen anyone do that yet.
I couldn't tell you. Like, if you said, hey, Greg, gun to head, tell me the pecking order at receiver that Auburn's going to go with this year. I'm not kidding. I don't even think I'd be able to sniff being able to get it right. I mean, I think it's a complete guess. I'd love to be able to tell you with certainty of, hey, this is going to be guy number one, this is going to be guy number two, and so on and so forth, right on down the list. But, man, it's hard to kind of figure out who's – I don't know if there is a guy, by the way, that's going to be featured at this point of our evaluation, but – if you feel differently, let me know, because I really don't know.
And I do think that Hugh's offenses in the past have operated in both ways. Tell me if you disagree with this. I think he has had offenses that, okay, we have Laquon Treadwell. He's getting the football. He's going to get the targets. We're going to move him. We're going to find ways to feature him. He is going to be our go-to receiver, quote fingers. And then I think he has had other offenses that have maybe had two or three B-plus receivers or B-minus receivers in that, okay, now you take a little more advantage of a mobile quarterback, or you bring in some tight end utilization or different things like, or maybe that's where pace and tempo has to be a bigger part and you spread it around just a little bit more. So I don't know if he has to have the one guy that gets, you know, 115 targets, but he has had that at different points in time. If you were going to talk about this group, you know, we've seen what Coy Moore can do both at LSU and at Auburn. I think he can help. I think he can be a good player. I don't think he's the guy we're talking about. Nick Marner, your transfer coming in from Cincinnati, he doesn't.
Yeah, how's he?
He is an overgrown wide receiver, undergrown tight end.
I mean, yeah, are they excited about him? Like, how do they want to use him?
I think they think he can help, but he's not going to be a featured wide receiver that can run multiple routes and get open on a lot of different routes. Now, down the field a little bit, 50-50 balls, red zone, like a guy who can physically take advantage of a mismatch, yeah, he can help you there. He'll do some things. Javaris Johnson. Now, that's going to be more of your Damien, you know, your slot Atta guy. Boy. That right. You know, some quick throws, give us some explosive plays on high percentage throws, but
yeah,
the entire route tree, no. No, not outside.
Cannot play outside.
Not going to be that guy. Then you start getting to the guys we hadn't seen a ton of. Camden Brown, who some people think may be able to sort of morph into that. Jay Fair possibly could potentially become that guy. You know, you get to a Landon King. We've had plenty of conversation about him on this show. He's not going to be that guy. He just isn't. He's a tweener. He's in between tight end receiver. I do think he can help. I do think he can be a quality football player. He's going to have to do some of the things he probably doesn't really want to do all the time, but that's what this offense is going to be and how he fits in. So, I mean, Tavarius Dawson, again, a guy who I think can help, can do some things, but not on the outside and not in the way that we're referencing. So I think it's got, number one, if there's anyone available in the portal, they will attack that player after spring.
Absolutely. And that'll be a position, like we've talked about already, that will likely be in the portal. More than likely, a guy's not happy with his.
Yeah, because if you're not labeled as the number one guy and getting all your targets in spring, you're
correct.
You're out of there.
So I think that's a position that I would not be super concerned about after the spring. You get two looks in the spring game, and you think you're going to get eight. Guess what? Like I'm out, coach. See ya. Like that would be a position I think would be easy to find.
Problem later. Is Auburn doesn't have room to have some of that guy on their roster that don't think. Oh, I'm not playing X, or oh, you're going to use me at tight end some, and then meh. So they can't afford that. But nonetheless, I think it's got to be by committee because yes, you may get help in the portal, but you're not getting that guy in the portal. Like I don't think you're getting Juice Wells in the portal. Like I don't think you're getting one of those guys in the portal at the end of spring. That's just me. You might. There might be that guy. Maybe your best bet would be to go to the lower levels of football and find someone that a little bit of a diamond in the rough that can come in and sort of be that guy. That may be it. But are you going to get a Malik Nabers in the portal? I don't see that.
It'd be nice.
I don't even think you're going to get like a Jonathan Mingo in the portal. Like I don't think that guy's going to be there. A Brew McCoy is not going to. I just don't think that's going to be there this portal cycle.
You never know, though. You just never know.
It's possible, but.
I mean, I don't recall exactly the time frame that Jamison Williams went to Alabama, but I feel like it was pretty late. If I'm just remembering,
like a summer
right,
guy? Was he like
I don't remember if it was a summer guy or a January guy. I just don't remember. I'm not sure it really matters, but there's going to be a guy that transfers, at least one that transfers that will be a difference maker in the fall.
Yep.
Now, does he end up at Auburn? I don't know. But there will be at least one, maybe two, probably five that transfer in May that ultimately become dudes for their respective teams just a few months later. It's an easy position to learn. It's an easy position to develop chemistry, especially if you transfer in the summer because you're getting so many reps in the summertime. It's not a problem. So if your offensive line would be the priority heading into spring, wide receiver would be the priority over the summer.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Speaking of wide receiver, there is a team in this league that would probably surprise you if I told you they currently have the best group of talent at wide receiver than they've ever had in their history. We will discuss that team next on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Wide receiver position probably causing some anxiety for a lot of teams in the SEC this year. If anxiety is an issue for you or a pet in your house, your CBD store can help. They've got products for that. Arthritis for you or your pet. They've helped a pet in my household. They've helped me with arthritis. They can help you as well. The largest brick and mortar CBD retailer in the world. They focus their attention on being the best plant sciences company out there. That's why they're the first company to have USDA certified organic oil supplements. They've got the stamp seal on those products. The Trim by SunMed, an all-natural approach to weight loss science, is also now in stock at your CBD store. Great customer service, multiple locations. Highway 280 by Bailey Brothers, 150 by the Cage in Cleaver, Trustful just off 459, and now downtown in Five Points. Your CBD store, where good health hits home. Best receiving corps returning in the SEC? Would that be unanimous, do you believe?
Unanimous, like,
would we all like agree on who that was? LSU, I would probably agree collectively.
I don't know if it's unanimous.
Damien?
I'd say
tell you he's in the mix. I think Kentucky.
I think Georgia Tennessee is really close. Well, we knew you would go Tennessee. Well, just because, one, Brew McCoy's back. We're putting Squirrel White up there.
I mean, you know.
I mean, Kentucky's in the mix.
They're there.
Offense, I think Kentucky's legit. I really believe that. They got to be able to block them. But I think Kentucky's got really good wideouts. Obviously, I think Georgia's very good. You include pass catchers if you want to expound to the tight end position, then by all means. But I think LSU, if you're just going strictly wide out bodies.
I think that would be actually a big advantage for Georgia this year, because I don't think it's a great tight end group in the SEC this year.
Probably not.
Not compared to what we've seen.
What about A&M? I mean, A&M's tandem can go with anybody.
A&M has Evan a good
Stewart
group.
And Moose.
I think it'd be good. But you brought up the team that I wanted to reference here, and I don't think a lot of people have an understanding of what is currently in the wide receiver room in Lexington, Kentucky right now.
Really good.
I think it's the best collection of receivers that school's ever had. I think it is the deepest wide receiver room that the University of Kentucky has ever had in the history of their football program. And I watched Randall Cobb. If you want to include pass catchers, I watched Jacob Tammy. I know what he was. I know what Craig East was back in the day. I've seen him. But when you take Dane Key, Berrion Brown, Tavian Robinson, and potentially Anthony Brown is getting some comparisons to a Wandale Robinson from a couple of years ago as a freshman who's an early enrollee who's going through spring practice, you're talking about a very deep group.
Yeah.
That pushes things to the perspective of, if they can keep Devin Leary upright, that offense is going to have a chance to be really good with Liam Cohen now calling the shots. And he's going to go a little bit further in protecting that offensive line. They're making some moves up front with the offensive line. Jagger Burton's going to center, so Eli Cox will be at guard. Horsey's at the other guard. You get Marquez Cox from Northern Illinois, who's going to be a solid tackle. He's not going to be dominant, but I don't think he's going to be a liability. I don't think he's going to be a problem. Right tackle is a problem right now. But you have a good group of tight ends that could potentially help that out. And as you know, Greg, Liam can work around one spot. If there's one spot that's an issue up front, he can manage that. But what they'll do with the stretch play, with the boots, the throwbacks, the screens, the quick throws, the motions, they'll be able to even some things out if the offensive line's not dominant. But you put Ray Davis in at tailback, and then all of a sudden that group of receivers, I think a lot of folks are really underselling the potential of this Kentucky offense in 2023.
Fine. I think the offensive line's a problem. I mean, you can rework it all you want. I mean, you got to block. I mean, you got to block them. I don't trust them to do it. I know that sounds crazy. I know it sounds bad, but I don't trust them at all. I'm not saying I'm anti Kentucky this year at all. Not at all. That is completely inaccurate. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be good. But to go as far as to say, you know, they're going to be in the mix to potentially, you know, challenge in the East or anything like that.
No. I'm not ready to go there. But they do fall into that category of there's one or two things that become enormous in that if that one thing or two things works out, they're going to win 9 or 10. If it doesn't, they're going to win 5 or 6 or 4. And I think the Kentucky offensive line, and then I would go kind of parentheses next to that, keeping the quarterback healthy, that's for this
huge
team.
Obviously.
But if the offensive line is B minus and they can keep people off Devin Leary and they can help get the run game a little bit more to help protect him, then I think they have a chance to have a really good season.
What
if
about
they
front
don't,
seven?
I think the front seven's fine.
I think it's okay. It's not dynamic though.
But how many times has it been?
They've had a couple dudes that could take over the game.
But J.J. Weaver is going to be really good off the edge.
They've had a guy or two that could take over the game. And I don't know if
Trevin Wallace, I think, is moving into that role. An off the ball linebacker, I think he's going to be exceptional for Kentucky. Now, are they as dominant and heavy handed up front? No, but Deion Walker is a massive human being that moves really well. As he continues to learn how to be a defensive lineman, they've got a chance to be pretty good. They've got pretty good numbers up front. I think I like the depth that they have. Do they have multiple dominant individuals at the line of scrimmage? No. But I think with Brad White calling it, they're going to be good enough to be – I think they're fine there. It's not a big concern of mine.
Well, I'm glad you're confident.
The concern with Kentucky defensively will be the same concern that it's been for the last 4 or 5 years. It's overall athleticism. When they get against teams like Tennessee, are they going to be able to run with them? Because if it's a fist fight, they're fine. That's the way they play. It's in their DNA. It's who they are. It's when you begin to have to start playing track meet ball that they usually struggle with, and they're just not built for that, which is fine for them because they don't see it a ton. So they're usually okay with it. But aspects of that team are going to be very different this year than a lot of people think.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.